This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Welcome back. Welcome in. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com. This is a Paramount podcast. I'm Mike Casazza here on a Tuesday morning, day later than normal. Reason being, West Virginia, two more road losses. Chris Anderson, I can't believe it. 0-10 away from the Coliseum, 0-4 neutral site, 0-6 on the road in conference play. And I don't know that anything is really learned. Anything changes from game Saturday and Monday, except now that officially cannot have a winning record in the regular season. Apart from that, probably not a lot of surprise unless you thought they might not lose by more points this year than last year at Texas, or if you thought they might have more fight 48 hours later against TCU, but maybe you haven't been paying enough attention if you thought those are the outcomes that were on the way. And it's two more losses that, for lack of a better explanation, are just two more losses that kind of fall in line.
Yep, I think I asked you at this time last week, I said, is this going to be a season where West Virginia goes winless on the road? And you know, we listed off the five games. This one, Texas, TCU, already happened. At number 10, Iowa State, now number 10. At Kansas State and at Cincinnati. And we both were kind of like, it's possible, but maybe they pull one of those off. I don't think either of us thought this weekend was the weekend they were going to pull one of those off. But, man, just the performances. Again, we can go into more detail in a minute, but just the performances from those two games does not give you hope about them being able to go on the road and do anything later, no matter the opponent. I mean, it was a lot of issues. Again, we can go in more in depth right now, but it's going to be a winless road record. I feel more confident now than I did last week about that becoming true.
Yeah, which I guess would make sense now, and it wouldn't be as outlandish, but boy, if you told me at the beginning of the year that like this is going to be like one of those teams that went 0-9 twice in the past, I would have been like, no, that's not in the cards for sure. But boy, it's really difficult, you can tell, for teams to win on the road in this league, notwithstanding what happens at the Coliseum. But even though West Virginia has some good moments at the Coliseum, some good wins, but sometimes I just wonder if getting away from like what's comfortable. I just wonder if road games bother this team more. Like, everybody knows why road games are difficult, but there's something about idle time, about being away from all the things, you know, routines and regiments and all that, that they wander. And they could look at games too sometimes where it's off schedule or things have to be done, you know, on your own and away from a game plan, or just something happens to react. They're not good at that either. So perhaps it does make sense too. I thought that they could get last night's game before they played. Actually, when we talked last week, I said they would get one of the two on Saturday and Monday. So I'm not confident in them going to Cincinnati and winning that game. So that means they're going to have to either win at Kansas State or Iowa State. Iowa State's about as hard a place to play in the country this year. And Kansas State, don't know, that would be probably their best remaining hope. Maybe you would say Cincinnati, I don't know. But yeah, this is a real thing. That's a bummer. It's hard to be good, like, if you don't split your Big 12 road games. And if you get swept on the road, I don't think that's good, Chris. This a step back? Like, I understand this probably isn't going maybe anywhere. We could probably admit that now. I think a lot of people have been critical of us for kind of having that glimmer of hope or like curiosity as to like, okay, what if? And I think in our defense, there's been so many staggering moments here where you have to stop and wait for everybody else to catch up and get on the same page. You never really got to see what they had, and maybe we never will, because the state of things right now, I could see a lot of people checking out or not giving a complete investment, or they're just not being enough time to refine and polish all the problems. But man, to get smoked like that again at Texas. Again, last year, the day before the Super Bowl, they lost by 34 at Texas. You think they had that one circled this year. But that's probably like a byproduct of having rosters that turn over so much. What happened last year doesn't really matter. And then close early, better start last night, but ultimately fading down the stretch. And that's kind of becoming hallmark now, too.
Yeah, it is. And again, I just pulled up like the standings for the Big 12 to compare where West Virginia as far as on the road and what they got coming up. As you noted, Iowa State, one of the toughest places to play in the country. 14-0 at home, Iowa State is. Kansas State, 11-2. Cincinnati, 12-3 at home. It's tough to play on the road. Everybody. The best record, by the way, in the Big 12 for away record, 4-3. You know, TCU and Houston, they're both 4-3. That's as good as it gets. So losing on the road is normal. It's the norm. West Virginia doesn't even have the worst record on the road in the Big 12. That goes to Oklahoma State, who's 0-7 right now. But it's more how it's happening and what you're seeing as it's happening, because it's not just a loss, like you noted. Like, it's not just a 5 or 10 point loss with some tough shooting, a couple bad breaks. It's sloppy passing. It's lazy defense. It's things just fading down the stretch because the effort is just, you could just see the effort being kind of sucked from their bodies and they're done. And it seems to carry over and carry over. And I noted in last night's three thoughts after the TCU game, that was some terrible lazy passing going on, even right from the get-go. I mean, it's already noted that it was the most turnovers in a game for West Virginia this season. But not even counting the turnovers, just every pass was tipped. There was one possession where I think TCU got their fingers on 6 or 7 passes. And it wasn't a turnover, but they got their hands on 6 or 7 passes in one possession. And that just disrupts your entire offense. It turns everything off. And that's a big problem. And part of that, so much of that is just laziness and effort and you know, mental and physical fatigue.
Let's have another Ofer conversation. Are you ready? Do they win again?
Oh man. All right, here's your schedule.
Well, because we're counting three more losses, basically, right?
Yeah. I'm not counting any road wins.
Okay. So
here's your home schedule. Versus number 12 Baylor on Saturday. No.
I find that unlikely.
UCF on Tuesday.
Probably their best chance.
Yeah, probably. Again, UCF's not a world beater, but that matchup is tough because UCF, I mean, we saw what happened in Orlando. Like, that team is long and active, and that causes West Virginia some issues. March 2nd, Texas Tech. Same Texas Tech team that, what, just beat Kansas by 30, 29?
Incredible.
It's going to be tough. And then TCU. The team West Virginia just lost to by 16.
However, TCU's never won in the Coliseum.
Nope.
And 11-0. That's not the best place for Jamie Dixon historically either. Maybe.
By the way, is Jamie Dixon the best defensive coach ever jumping out? Is he like Shaka Smart jumping out playing defense? Because I thought they were getting rid of that, the Big 12 officiating talk. Because he was out there on Monday night. Not again, this isn't, you know, poor sport, you know, whatever, what didn't change the game. But I thought the whole point of this conversation was that stuff stopping. And he's out there in a defensive stance, jumping out of the box, jumping behind West Virginia players while they're catching the ball. He's been doing that for years. And I don't hate it, but if they're trying to get rid of it, man, he is the prime culprit.
Yeah, you figure that he would be the guy on the highlight tape that they, like, for the teaching for referees, there's a lot of Jamie Dixon clips in there, you would think. Good point. He was definitely like the sixth man last night for them. Here's another one for you. A lot of people have put the what if all over the season. No arguing that. And then this goes back to the radio in June and the concert in June and all that stuff. I guess radio in May, concert in June. And I don't want to go through all that again. But the roster changed a bunch. But there's like a couple things that, again, I don't know how much control they had over this. Some they did, some they didn't. But a couple things that do stand out to me. So I don't want to say what if they had their initial roster, because a lot happens. And then, you know, there were certainly whispers that Mitchell was looking around before Bob Huggins is no longer the coach. I'm not sure that Joe Toussaint was going to leave, if not for the opening, that 30-day window for a coaching change. And then you have the Jose Perez. Those are the three I want to focus on. Because when you look at who came in and then what they have in place instead, those are the ones you can really circle, because I think that they miss a lot of this stuff. One, Joe Toussaint. Never mind that he's having a really, really good year at Texas Tech, but like that guy is like the most productive. I don't want to call him a jerk, but a jerk, right? In the best way possible. Like, he's going to be competitive and he's going to, you know, probably say and do things when times get tough. Like, if you can just remember him last year when they lost games and he wasn't happy about it and stuff like that, that's some New York in him. That's just the way he's wired. Perez having a solid season in Arizona State, tree in the forest, I understand. Putting him at the three is a lot different than the problems they've had at the three this year, especially defensively. And then Mitchell, I don't know if you could project he was going to have the season he's having in Kentucky at West Virginia this year, but that's a guy who could score and who could get shots and who could work within an offense and he could rebound and a little bit of everything, where they have more problems in those same areas without him. So I guess, where do you begin on like what's a fair question, critique, commentary on what might have been with the roster? Because I don't want to get into the blame game of who's the fault and all that. I don't want to get into NCAA suspensions, medical conditions, broken wrists, lawsuits, whatever. But is it fair to start at those three? Is that unfair to other people? Where do you begin and how do you have that conversation?
Don't know, because you're right. It's hard to have this conversation without having the conversation about who's to blame, because then you just go down that road. When you were talking about it, it did make me think, right all the way back to when this happened and when the window opened. We said, because once a coach is fired, it opens that 30-day window. Why fire? Suspend indefinitely. That window never opens. Who was it? It was a football coach like a couple months later, where they did the same thing and they just suspended him. They didn't fire him. They suspended him for a while and then eventually fired him. But during the suspension, players couldn't enter the portal. It is a low down, dirty, mischievous thing to do. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do to survive sometimes. And that was, I get, obviously, like the administration had to act on what was happening, but I don't know if people put too much thought into it with that. Might have saved them some headaches, might have kept guys around, might have caused more headaches later. Again, this is, who knows? Like, because then you keep those guys around, then they're just mad and ticked off, and then they try to leave later, even later in the process when you do end up firing Huggins. So, like, I don't know what the right answer is, because again, we're just going to keep going down this rabbit hole. We keep spinning around talking different things, and it's going to come back to whose fault is this? Whose fault is this? Why does this have to happen? What's next? And again, that seems to be what everybody else wants to know, is what's next? When is it time to just start focusing on the next thing? Because I think you noted it right off the top here. It's clear now, if it wasn't already, this is a temporary thing that's going to come to an end in the near future.
So then how about this? Look at their roster. Swap, I would guess it would be Farrakhan for Toussaint, correct? Slezinski for Mitchell.
Okay.
And they never replaced Perez. Remember, they were trying to add a big at some point in December, and it just never worked out. So that's a hole there. So like that obviously tipped the scales. But I don't think that you could say they don't get the Creasa suspension or the battle issue court cases, because those had already happened. You know, the Creasa thing had already happened at Arizona, and someone told on them. And battle was obviously going to be an issue that ultimately cost him 9 games. He missed 10, but ultimately cost him 9 games. So you're still going to have that. Who knows about Akuka Cook? Who knows about Jesse Edwards or anybody else that may have, you know, gotten hurt or sick or whatever, that you can't account for that. But that seems to be the two big things. You swap out Farrakhan, who really wasn't even going to play. So you lose Toussaint to a blank. You lose Perez to a blank. And you swap Slezinski for Mitchell. I think I have that right. Maybe the order is not perfect, but that's essentially the trading that they did. I just think they're a much better team. But I don't think there's any argument with that. Question then is, can like Josh Eilert whip this up and make it good or better than it has been so far? I don't know if Eilert is an 8-16 coach. You like to think he's a little bit better than that too, but who knows? We don't know. And we probably won't get to find out either. I do think about that, like all the what ifs here, but like what if they just had kept Toussaint and kept Mitchell, because I think those are good players. And Perez, what if it didn't have to be a get out of town, you know, my way or the highway kind of a thing? Do you litigate that differently? And that's obviously a problem and a solution further down the road than Toussaint and Mitchell. I just think those three personalities, those three players make a difference. Like, again, I don't want to call Toussaint a jerk. I hope I didn't make that bad, but I just think that he would have been good for this team as a very businesslike, competitive, determined player who was not going to take kindly to losing by, you know, 50 one night and then 22 the next. Like, well, what would practice be like tomorrow? And I'm sure there are other guys like that are out there, but there might also be guys in this team who want to be like that and can't. That might be a problem. And then Mitchell, I just think, would be a good basketball player in this team. And Perez, just, you know, Creasa, battle Perez, Toussaint, battle Perez as your 1-2-3. I just think it works a little bit differently. And then you see some of the, especially defensive deficiencies at that three spot and some of the problems they've had juggling things. Maybe he solves that and that's not as bad of an issue. So I guess that's a conversation you really can't have, but it is fun to have. You know, it's a question you want to ask, but it, like you said, for a myriad reasons, it's very difficult to answer.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I got a question for you, Mike. Here's the question I want to ask. West Virginia defeating number three Kansas. This West Virginia team defeating number three Kansas. Where does that rank on the most improbable wins of a WVU team in recent memory?
I think it's probably more surprising just because of the name Kansas. That's not a great Kansas team, though, right? It could be. But don't forget, when they went 15-21, they beat Kansas. So this team is, I don't know, like that team was a mess that year. And I think that they weren't even 15-21. Like they had to win some games late to get there. And that wasn't a terrific team. Like I'm trying to think of who was on that team. Here, let me punch it up right now. Starting lineup was Marcus Garrett, Dedrick Lawson, Devin Dotson, LeGerald Vick, and Quentin Grimes. Quentin Grimes is probably the best player in that group. Mitch Lightfoot played in that game. David McCormick was young. He became a good player. Ochai Agbaye was there, but he was a young player. I think that was his freshman year. KJ Lawson wasn't a great team. So, again, if they beat a team that profiles as Kansas, but they're like some other name, then you wouldn't be so surprised. I just don't think Kansas is a terrific team this year. But, yeah, for them to beat Kansas, to beat Bill Self, and to beat the brand of Kansas doesn't make a lot of sense for this team. And then to beat Texas and then get absolutely just obliterated when they go on the road, that isn't as surprising, I guess. But still, you'd like to see something better than that, too. Good question. All right,
next question for you. I'm just going to start. I'm going to turn this into my own personal Q&A.
Okay.
Not even tell you about it. But what's the biggest issue with this team? What is? I mean, because like you go and look at the stats, like they're dead last in offense in the Big 12. They're dead last in defense. They're dead last in shooting. They're dead last in steals. They're dead last in rebounding. We can't say everything. So what's the biggest issue?
Don't care. They don't care.
Okay.
I thought you said you didn't care. Close. That would be the way to refine it to a point. And again, that might not be fair, but these have been problems since day one, Chris. And you would think at some point you would really care enough to not lose games because of that, to not have your coach hammer the same point in practice, in a screaming session, in a film session. You think they would be like, man, guy might have a point after two dozen games, right? Like maybe there is something here we should be thinking about. And then that just doesn't appear to be like there. And then how does that manifest itself on the floor too? Well, one, you get picked on easier by other teams because they have an entire season to serve as a body of evidence that you can't do this. You won't do this. You're not able to defend this or combat this on defense, on offense. And all of a sudden you're much easier to unplug. And that happens across the season. Just teams pick on you a little bit and players, tactics, whatever. Also, what does it look like on the floor? Again, rebounding, blocking out, diving on loose balls, catching the pass, listening to your coach, you know, just not, man, I got a wide open three here. Yeah, there's 6 seconds into the shot clock. We can get a better shot, but I'm open, right? Man, my coach has been talking about quality shots all season. Is this the quality shot? So stuff like that, it just hasn't gotten better. And like their old problems are their current problems. And that's a problem for any basketball team, but especially one that has so many. And I think you just see teams that they realize they can be physical with West Virginia. They can beat them to the floor. They can beat them to the glass. They can run through passing lanes. They can jump on you at half court. And that offense that West Virginia has is going to back up and reset and pass the ball and try to find the point guard again. And like next thing you know, there's like 6 seconds in the shot clock. And it's just been like that all season. So just to care enough to do this for an entire season, that would be concerning to me. And if they cared more, there might be fewer problems. They might have more wins, but you would certainly have seen improvement in some of the problem areas that were circled, what, on day one of practice, Chris? And then I'm pretty sure if you sat down now and you talked to Josh Eilert, a lot of the problems end of the problems now. Like, do they have new problems, Chris?
No, man, yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think so much of this has to deal with effort because I was talking about the passing for this game. That's effort. Like, I mean, it was just lazy lob passes that, for those who are viewing, went like this instead of straight line drives. One-handed passes instead of a you know, technically correct two-handed pass. Just laziness. And then there was one play in particular, and put it on the board. Was it like the 12:42 or the 10:42 mark in the first half? Noah Farrakhan takes a three. No one goes for the rebound. It bounces back towards him. Farrakhan goes for the board, dives on the ground. Meanwhile, there's three West Virginia players who were actually closer to the ball, all just standing and staring at the ball. Standing there, staring. Didn't even, like, their hands are by their side. They're standing completely still. And I was like, wow, that's unbelievable. Only one of the four guys that were near the ball actually went for it. And I'm like, well, at least, you know, Farrakhan tried. And then I think a few moments later, I get a message in my DM. You can divulge who if you care to later. That says, I thought Farrakhan cared, but no. And no effort there as well. So it's just seems to be like rampant throughout the team of just an effort thing. And the effort is going to lead to bad defense. Effort is going to lead to bad rebounding. Effort is going to lead to bad passing and turnovers. And there you go. There's all West Virginia's problems.
It's an astute observation, Chris, about DM. I might ask who that was.
Hey. So is there hope? Like, not this year. I'm not asking for hope this year. Is there hope?
Oh, yeah. It comes to the coach.
Turnaround, like, excuse me.
For the longest time, Chris, like, this is a program that was identified by its coach. And, like, I think that's kind of rare nowadays where you'll have teams because their players, the conference they're in, or, you know, a run. So, like, a core of players. Like, think about that Gonzaga team. Yeah, Mark Few's been very good. They play in a funky conference. But, like, they've had signature players that you've known for several years across time. Or you can look at like generational teams like that Kentucky team that beat West Virginia in the Sweet 16 and identify by certain players. And like, that's fine, but those things change over time. For what, 17 years, West Virginia was the Bob Huggins program. And it's funny now that that's gone, but the immediate success of this program here is going to be the new coach. Like, is he going to be the brand of the program? Maybe the face of the program? Probably. I'm not sure that's what you want, especially when you're looking at like how quickly Ross has turned over now and our old ways and new ways. I don't know. That's going to be interesting. But for this to go back the way it was going, and like I think everybody wants it to go, this is going to have to be a coach's program who comes in and, you know, mixes his roster, gets some transfers, recruits some players from America, from international pools of talent, and then develops over time, gives you a system that is identifiable and recruitable on offense and or defense that builds in some of the things that have been lost or squandered this year. And oh, by the way, can hang with Bill Self and Scott Drew and Jerome Tang and it just on and on going down this list, right? That's you really got to have a coach to do this. So I guess what's old is new again. And the trouble is, how many coaches are like that out there? And then nowadays, how much time, air quotes, do you get? I don't know. Because I think like to come into a situation like this, which we said could have, I don't know, double digit scholarships available, but could also have up to 9 players come back. That's going to be interesting. But that coach is going to have to come in and really make some decisions or have some hard conversations with players. But people are going to expect, because it happened here or here or here, in football or in basketball, that you can win right away in year one or year two, and it might not be that easy. That's like a fascinating part here. So there is hope, but it begins with you got to nail the hire, which is probably the least surprising thing that you're going to get as far as a response here.
We'll give this piece of advice to Athletic Director Ren Baker. Ooh. Travel with the team in 2 weeks when they go to Iowa State and sit down with the athletic directors there in Ames and ask them about it, because I think that's where you're going to find a glimmer of hope for this West Virginia program. People wondering about a quick turnaround. How it's so bad. How can it happen so quickly? How can West Virginia University get back to relevance in the world of college hoops? And it's right here in the Big 12. An example is right here in the Big 12. It's right over at Iowa State. In 2020-21, they went 2-22. They did not win a single Big 12 conference game. They were abysmal. That offseason, they hired a new coach. They didn't kick out, but essentially dismissed / gently nudged essentially their entire roster out. I had 11 players gone from that winless team. Brought in 7 transfers plus a solid recruiting class and brought them from all over the country, all over the world, Netherlands, Slovenia, various colleges in the United States. The next year, the very next year, after going winless, Sweet 16. So, you know, is that the expectation you should set? Probably not. That's probably a little extreme. But that's the roadmap. You make the right hire. You purge your roster of the problems. And you go out and you find the solutions. And it has happened before. So you know it can be done. So, Ren Baker, travel on that jet to Ames in a couple of weeks. Pick up a few tips and keep that in mind in your notebook here in about a month or two.
And then call me and tell me what you found out. That'd be cool. Rewind, Chris, 2019 for a second.
Yeah.
That Kansas game, I mentioned the starting lineup for Kansas. Do you want to hear the West Virginia starting lineup?
Do it.
Okay. Starting, Jermaine Haley, Andrew Gordon, Chase Harler, Wes Harris, Issa Ahmad.
I like
Culver came off the bench.
Both had the what? Andrew Gordon.
yeah, that was the guy. Culver, Lamont West, Beal Bolden, and Jordan McCabe came off the bench. And if I am correct here, and I'm pretty sure I am, yeah, like Harris and Ahmad did not make it through the season. Emmett Matthews didn't even play in that game. He was a freshman. Also on this roster, Kanate didn't work out well. Logan Rout, good player, didn't play, didn't work out well that particular game. Brandon Knapper, a freshman. So also Trey Dooms, goodness. Speaking of that guy, right? Some talent there. But boy, what a weird season that was. They were 12-19 in the regular season. Beat Oklahoma and Texas Tech, the Emmett Matthews game in the Big 12 tournament, lost to Kansas, and then beat Grand Canyon and got just absolutely – this is 109-91. That was a CBI game against Coastal Carolina. That was an 18-point game. It was not an 18-point game. And I didn't Culver show up late and didn't start or didn't play the first half, and the crowd was just cheering, demanding that he would play, and he had a decent second half, I guess, there too, but oh, man, I guess what's old is new again, right? The dysfunctional roster, players who aren't available for chunks of time, talent. The assembly of talent is always difficult here, too. So, not the best memories there either, huh?
Absolutely not. I guess you got to go through that every few years just to remind you that you had it good at some point.
All right, well, Saturday, home, Baylor. There's a guy on that team from right down the road in Fairmont. I forget his name. I don't know. I'm sure we'll hear it a couple times. Had a good year. That team is up and down, in and out. They're good. They're going to be a tough matchup for West Virginia. Can we close a little bit of business?
Yeah, do it.
Last time we talked on one of these, someone asked about uniforms for the football team. Okay, that was your facial expression, not mine. Okay. I just admitted that I'm not plugged into it. Cool, I get it. Like, that's fine, but like, it's not my thing. I kind of rage about the Liverpool uniforms, which are a color that they shouldn't be, so on and so forth. Chris, the feedback on that was predictable and harsh, with a lot of people telling us what's happening. People felt for my ignorance. People reached out to me and told me some things. Yeah, new uniforms coming. And people have told me this over and over. 2024 season. Evidently, this will be announced spring game. So kind of like what they did Browns first year, which you said, maybe they'll do that. That does seem to be their plan. Now, what is that going to look like? No idea. I think the grays might be gone. That's the plan. Bigger one, Chris. Are you ready for this?
Ready as I can be.
On February 13, 2024, the plan, at least in this infant stage, play host to Penn State, which hit West Virginia with the whiteout last year. Play host to Penn State in all black uniforms. No gold, no blue. White trim, white letters, white numbers. Everything else black. Now, will that be part of the new uniform package? I don't know. Could that change? Perhaps. But what has come out of some conversation that I've had with people is that, yep, new set of uniforms coming in 2024. Plan is to use the spring game as, I don't know, the catwalk, let's say. But the bigger deal, and it may not be announced until later, if it does make it out of the fashion show, black uniforms. Your thoughts?
Can't believe you didn't give me a heads up about that so that we could set up the little Instagram camera and make that go viral, because that is going to send some people, a lot of people, into a frenzy right there, Mike.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you saw how angry everybody got when we were like, yeah, uniforms, whatever. Just the majority of the fan base is very interested in uniforms. So I think that's going to catch the ears of a lot of people, as long as they were willing to put up with a lot of basketball talk there for the first 30 minutes or so.
I know. That was the carrot at the end of the stick here. Just follow me to the finish, and I promise there's a payoff there. Listen, that's the plan. We'll see what happens. They may get talked out of it. Maybe I'm the weather balloon, Chris, and they had me floated out to the public, and the harsh reaction is going to be such that it pops that weather balloon, it flies away, and we never see those black uniforms, and that's on me. That's my fault. I did my job unknowingly, but I can see this being a potential thing. And again, is it a regular thing? Is it a once a year? Is it a special occasion like they're pro combats? I don't know. We'll see. But I do think it's interesting that they're leaning toward that, and we'll see where it goes in there. Leaning toward the end of our basketball season, Chris, we talked a lot more about this than we thought. Maybe we'll do more. Maybe we'll do less, depending on what happens this week. Before this week is over, though, definitely rolling us in baseball. I think that's the round ball sport that people are more excited about right now. What could possibly go wrong when you have one of the top-ranked players in the country on your team? We'll see. But they start off with a four-game series at Stetson this weekend. We'll roll out some previews. We'll even gather back here to talk about it. Then anything else, sir?
That is it. Let's wrap it up. Look for some three-minute videos later in the week, too. We just solicited some requests from the message board as we were recording this podcast, and we'll be recording those and putting them up later in the week.
Until then, I'm Mike Casazza.
And I'm Chris Anderson.
We will talk to you then.